meteorologist Dan Holliday.
And good morning. Welcome to Pages in Time on 1590 KVGB. Steve Webster, your host. And the second and fourth Mondays. I have been informed that those are the days when Karen Newforth, research coordinator for the Barton County Historical Society, comes in to join us on the show for some new Pages in Time. We've got a really cool topic today. I've been looking forward to this. But first of all, I want to mention coming up later this month will be your monthly meeting. Mm-hmm. And another cool topic. This is like we're going to have a video for on the Santa Fe Trail.
Yep. Once a year, the Quivira chapter of the Santa Fe Trail Association holds a meeting at Barton County Historical Society. And Linda Colley, their president, has arranged a video. It's about a little short of an hour long on some topic about the Santa Fe Trail, but I don't know exactly what it is yet.
Well, that's going to be pretty neat.
I hope so.
Yeah, so that's 7:30 on what date again?
Fourth Monday. Okay, whatever the heck day that is.
I think that is the 24th of July.
That sounds about right.
7:30 at the Barton County Historical Society. Karen Newforth in with us, just chipper as can be. Anybody that's gone through the week of the Barton County Fair, maybe dragging just a little bit. Your thoughts? Did everything go good this year?
I think it went pretty well. At least it's not this week when it's going to be triple digits outside. We were just in the 80s and 90s. We were kind of grateful for that. Otherwise, we would... I've been out there when it was triple digits for a fair, and it's not fun.
What role do you do, and how do you help with the fair each year, Karen?
I wear two hats. Both of them volunteer. I am superintendent of open class arts and crafts, and I am a Barton County Fair friend. And the Barton County Fair friends are, I think we have an honorary male or two, but we're mostly women who we work on arranging and decorating and getting Expo 2 ready for the 4-H and open class exhibits in all categories. And some of us are superintendents, and some are not.
Well, give your Barton County friend of the fair a hug today, right?
Yeah.
You guys did.
We're all tired.
Well, thank you so much for helping put on that great event each summer. The Barton County Fair is now over. Karen Newforth in with us. It's Pages in Time today, and I'm going to start off our topic today talking about... this goes back, gosh, I don't remember exactly how old I was. I was about 10 years old, so we're going to take this back. It's probably around 1970, right around that time. And my uncle worked in Great Bend at the time. I don't know if he was a manager at TGNY, Otasco, was there a store? I don't know.
There was
one of those stores in town like that. And we came out here to see him on a particular weekend. So what we did is we went to this lake. And I remember going out to the lake because it was really cool because it was a big water hole and it had paddle boats down there. It even had boats up on the north side of the lake where you could get a boat in there. They had this big tower in the middle where you go out and you jump off this big tower into the water. There was all kinds of activities, all kinds of people there. Okay, then fast forward when I got a job here in 1987 at KVGB and I came back through here and I went out to look for this lake, and I couldn't find it.
There was no lake.
There was no lake, and there was a lot of trees where I thought it was. Of course, I'm talking about Lake Barton.
Yep.
What happened to Lake Barton?
Well, that's a long story.
That's a long story, but we're going to talk about Lake Barton. It was quite a recreation place, back in its day.
It was a real biggie for its initial time, and I grew up going there. We belonged to the club that ran it. My family did, and any weekend during the summer when it was open and we weren't out doing harvest or something, we were out there in the water having picnics, grilling. I learned how to fish around with my toes on the shoreline for mussels, which my great-aunt Hazel kind of really loved to grill when they were here from California. So it was a fun place.
It was. So I guess where do we want to start from the beginning with this?
Well, and it has a long history. It started back in the 1920s.
Lake Barton on a hill.
Well, in the valley between hills.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay. Take us back to 1920 and where'd this body of water get going?
And actually, what caused it to happen started in 1910.
Railroad?
Railroad, because the Missouri Pacific in 1910 built their big division shops up at Hoisington. And the remains of them are still there. Some of them. The roundhouse is gone, but you can still see where it was on satellite pictures. But that was one of their larger machine shops and roundhouses in this whole stretch of Missouri Pacific Railroad. And that really powered a lot of Hoisington's economy for a while, but they ran off steam engines. They ran steam engines on the railroad, and the shops ran off steam engines. And to run steam engines, there's one great big requirement: water. And they couldn't possibly pump enough out of Blood Creek and Shop Creek to do this. So they bought some right-of-ways, and they bought some land, and they put a lake in, a reservoir. They did that in, I think, 1926. And I think they let the, actually, I take that back. I just looked at my notes. They started taking bids for construction of it in 1922. So that's, we're getting close to 100 years ago now.
Which, of course, the first thing they constructed probably would have been the dam up on the north side.
And the dam was added. It wasn't added until 1947.
Okay. Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Believe it or not.
Where were they getting? Now, obviously, you get up there where it's at, and it probably was a nice little downhill run for water right into Hoisington, right?
Yes. It's up high enough that they could feed, if they got water in there, they could feed it by gravity to Hoisington.
So they had their own little water tower up on.
They just put the pipes in all the way. But in 1923, they got a right-of-way from Wet Walnut Creek, north of Great Bend, to the lake, and built a concrete dam and a pump house on the creek. And that's where they pumped the water from to the lake. Yes. Steve's nodding his head. You can't see all the stuff that goes on here in person.
Well, because I'm sitting here thinking, okay, where are we getting this water? Okay, it's running wet down walnut. The hill. It's Wet Walnut. Okay.
Wet Walnut. But from Wet Walnut, they had to pump it uphill. Huh. If anybody has ever wondered idly why the ditch / right-of-way is so wide on the west side of 281 Highway between Great Bend and Hoisington, Great Bend and Lake Barton, it is because not only did we have a Missouri Pacific Railroad spur there, it's also where the pipeline is from Walnut Creek to Lake Barton.
Where was the pump house and that area on the Walnut then?
Not far off the creek, north of town here.
Okay.
I think if you look in just the right place, you might see the remains.
So that was the plan. I just can't imagine today trying to do that with all the trying to get permission to pump water out of a walnut. I think that'd be a pretty long process.
Try impossible.
Okay.
We'll get into that when we tell why we don't have Lake Barton anymore.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We're talking about Lake Barton, the history, how long this is going to go. I've got many, many questions. Some of them are actually good. Okay. We're going to continue with Pages in Time right after this.
If you suffer from back pain, your mattress could be the problem. Over time, conventional mattresses can break down and sag in the middle. The solution is Restonix Marvelous Middle Mattress from Well Sit and Sleep in Great Bend. The Marvelous Middle has one-third more support in the back area where you need it the most. Plus, Restonix has been awarded the Consumer Digest Best Buy Award and Women's Choice Award more years than any other mattress brand. So do your back a favor and get Restonix Marvelous Middle Mattress from Well Sit and Sleep across from the Great Bend Event Center on 10th Street.
It's hard to escape the heat this time of year, but an Efficient air conditioner will make it a lot easier. Comfort Pro is the area's largest air conditioning contractor with 25 vans that can service any brand of AC unit in Great Bend, Larned, Hoisington, and the Russell area. With the largest parts inventory and the largest selection of in-stock air conditioners, Comfort Pro should be the first call when your AC isn't keeping up. Comfort Pro, your Bryan dealer, whatever it takes, listed in the Next Tech directory.
Your problem is no problem for Comfort Pro.
Buying your first home or your dream home, there are lots of choices. Your first choice should be a home loan from First Kansas Bank. You'll work with local decision makers who will be available to guide you from application to closing. First Kansas Bank can give you a quick commitment, low closing costs, and fast closing times. Your loan will be serviced and payments made locally. So make the right choice. First Kansas Bank in Great Bend, Hayes, Hoisington, and Claflin. Equal housing lender.
Welcome back, Pages in Time. Today, Steve Webster with Karen Newforth on the program today discussing something I've always had a question about. Lake Barton, the history, how it got started, what it was like, when, and then where did it go? Karen, right now we've found out they've, well, the railroad's got this. They're pumping water, going to pump water from the Wet Walnut into this body of water so they can gravity feed water down to
railroad shops in Hoisington.
Yeah.
They had it figured out. You know, MOPAC could afford engineers who could figure that stuff out. And they needed the water for those steam engines and for the shop engines. And the shops up there were a big deal, truly. But they put in a concrete dam and a pump house on Wet Walnut Creek. And they also installed a concrete sump in between. But all in all, they had a combination of 2,992 linear feet of 15-inch vitrified pipe between Lake Barton and the concrete sump, and another 7,325 feet of 12-inch cast iron pipe from the concrete sump to the dam and the pump house on Walnut Creek. So that's a whole lot of pipe.
From the time that this idea was conceived to the time that it started to deliver water from the Walnut into the newly created lake, how long a period are we talking about?
Well, they started letting bids in 1922, and the lake was filled in 1924.
That's getting with the program quite a bit.
That's getting with the program. In fact, by the end of 1924, they were harvesting ice off the lake, loading it on railroad cars, because the railroad spur between Great Bend and Hoisington went right by the lake, and they hauled it to the ice house for the shops in Hoisington so it could be used during the summer.
Would you bring up another thing there that I don't think a lot of people realize? A railroad spur.
Yeah. You can still see where it curved around here in town. Those diagonal lines across, like, Main, north of Broadway, and over to where the elevator is up here on Main.
Well, I guess that'd probably be a good place for a railroad spur if there's an elevator.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, that again, I always kind of wondered that, too. Well, that's kind of a strange place for an elevator. Okay. Used to have a railroad.
Well, it was there before that railroad was. But, yeah, just look at the street sometime. You can still see.
So this is operational now. Now, when did it open up for recreation? Then who came up with an idea? Well, hey, we got a swimming hole out here.
Soon after they got it going, got everything set up. Yes, they rented it to the Barton County Club to run as a recreational feature. And you wouldn't believe some of the stuff that went out. Well, some of my friends would, but.
So the railroad still owned it, but it was being operated by the Lake Barton Club.
Right. And they had a clubhouse, the upper floor of which was originally an open-air dance pavilion, and then they put a roof on it. They had boating, swimming, fishing, tennis, croquet, golf, water skiing, ice skating, picnic areas, name it. People would, if they wanted to go fishing or something, they'd take the train from Hoisington down to the lake, and the train would go on down here to Great Bend, and on the way back, they'd pick them back up.
And this all, so, I mean, it's not soon after they had water in there than this agreement was going, and they're bringing water down in there. The water level stayed pretty constant then, they're pumping it in there,
They were pumping it, and Wet Walnut was not overextended then, so to speak. It had more water available, which is another matter we'll get to pretty soon. But it was a flowing creek. There was always water in it, even when I was a kid. But then the levels gradually reduced.
Right.
As did the water in Lake Barton. It's one of the more interesting things I found out when I was researching Lake Barton was that in the 20s and 30s, there was kind of a private competition going on between several local men who were building boats to use on the lake. Three of them were Joe LePay, Ferd Selly, and Frank Harmison. And LePay described his boat as a step-cut hydroplane. Harmison's was a sea flea. And Selly also built a hydroplane. And this is in the late 1920s, 1927, 28, 29. And they were out there testing these boats and had a good for the day, power on them, a curtained cabin. One of them could accommodate 9 passengers.
I would imagine this was a pretty good, this was before Lake Wilson. This was before the reservoirs in Kansas. Mm-hmm. So, this was probably a destination place for people to come.
All over. The Hutchinson paper cult covered it. In fact, one of their columnists got a little florid with his descriptions. He said, a rugged district in the midst of a plain, a small creek with a dam, and some engineering ideas used has made an unusually attractive place of Lake Barton. It is proof of what can be done in rolling lands and the use of water in establishing a fine place in the country with its water sports and pleasures. That very thing has been accomplished in this halfway spot between Great Bend and Hoisington, known as Lake Barton.
We're talking about Lake Barton on Pages in Time. We'll be back with more coming up right after this.
It's the annual After Harvest Festival presented by the Ellenwood Chamber of Commerce. Thursday starts off at 5 p.m. with the barbecue in City Park, sponsored by EPPI and Gathered, featuring Sue's Barbecue. The community barbecue is only $5 per plate. Jaron Bell will be in concert at 5:30, and the Carnival Wristband starts 7 until 11. It's the annual After Harvest Festival in Ellenwood. Visit ellenwoodchamber.com.
The ants go marching one by one, we'll pass. The ants go marching one by one, we'll pass. They'll find a way into your home, eat your food and make it their own. The ants go marching into your home.
When the enemy marches on your gates, you need to take control. World Pest Control in Sylvan Grove, Otis, and Salina.
Think we'll get to go to the game tomorrow, Dad?
Depends. We need at least half the day to run these cattle through the chute and deworm them. Then the fence needs fixing, and that tractor.
Let's save half a day and switch our regular range cubes with Safeguard Cattle Dewormer Cubes.
Yeah?
Yeah, the cattle eat the safeguard and the safeguard kills the worms. Brown stomach worms, Cuperia, all the worms other products could leave behind. And one feeding, too.
So how do you know all this?
It's the information age, Dad. I got it on my smartphone, see?
Huh. Looks like Safeguard will give us a few extra hours in the day.
Maybe Safeguard scores me the keys to drive to the game, huh?
So that's your plan. Okay, smart guy. Drive to the store for those Safeguard cubes first. Then we'll see about the game. Healthy cattle perform better. Add Safeguard, add pounds. Talk to your local animal health provider or veterinarian about Safeguard Cattle Dewormer from Merck Animal Health today. Or visit SafeguardCattle.com. Consult your veterinarian for assistance in the diagnosis, treatment, and control of parasitism. Always read and follow label directions. Both hands on the wheel, 10 and 2.
Okay, boy, time flies. Karen Newforth will be back with us. I think we'll probably pick up the Lake Barton discussion in our next program here in a couple.
Something else.
No. Because I was out at Lake Barton once. You spent a lot of time out there. You mentioned some of the things. What was it like out there? I mean, I remember the diving tower, but there was all kinds of things over on the west side. You mentioned.
Oh, yeah. With the monkeys. Tennis courts.
There were monkeys.
There were tennis courts, the golf course, you know, all that.
There were live monkeys out there.
There were live monkeys out there, yes. There were live non-monkeys out there, too. You know, I learned to dig for mussels with my toes in the mud.
What was it like on a Saturday? I mean, what's going on out there?
Everybody's out there in their swimsuits or under the trees at the picnic tables and eating and... just a good time.
They have lifeguards out there?
Yes, they have lifeguards.
Okay, good. Because that tower was the tallest jumping tower there ever was.
Yeah, that was pretty big. They also originally had a tower off the dam, believe it or not. That's scary. But they added that dam on the north in 1941. But what started the decline actually of Lake Barton was when the Missouri Pacific announced in 1947 that it was switching from steam engines to diesel engines. And eventually that also led to the demise of the big shops in Hoisington, and they didn't have any use for it. So in 1949, they sold it to the Barton County Club that had been running it, and they still own the property. Gradually, with the increase of irrigation and things like that, water flow in the Walnut Creek decreased. And it turned out that the Missouri Pacific had never gotten a water right from the state for that water. And so they couldn't pump water out of Walnut Creek anymore.
What year would have that been when they said no more?
Well, the final death knell was when we had the water had pretty much disappeared long before that, by the 1980s. But the final death knell for sure was when the wet walnut intensive groundwater use control area was implemented a number of years ago.
So the railroad just didn't, you know, take care of the business maybe they needed to take care of at the time.
Or their successors didn't, whichever.
Right, and then the club was having to, I mean, they would have to maintain the pumps and things like that down. So,
and under Kansas water law, it's first in time, first in right. If you've got a two-digit water right like Cheyenne Bottoms does, you're good to go. But if it's like 7,900 and something, you're out of luck.
Lake Barton. It's kind of like, it's like Atlantis. You know, it's this mystical.
Except it sank beneath the dust and the trees, not the water.
Karen, thank you very much. Karen will be back in with us in a couple of weeks. We'll continue our discussion. Please don't let's still, we got to talk more about Lake Barton. Is that a yes?
I don't have that much more to talk about Lake Barton.
Well, no, yes, we do. We've got a lot to talk about. Don't we?
Mm-mm.
That's it.
We covered the.
So then it just
covered the honey.
Then it just dried up.
It wasn't dry. It dried up. Yep. Now you go out and walk and do cross country.
You can. There are trails back there. Yep. You can go through there, but it's just, you go out there and it's just amazing. There's just trees.
Yep. It looks nothing like it did when I was a kid.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Lake Barton.
Yep. It's sad.
It is sad. It's a childhood memory. Then it's nothing but a hole back there.
And I have the pictures to prove it.
You can find more at Barton County Historical Society. So that is it on Lake Barton. Yep. Karen will be in with a new topic in 2 weeks here on the program. Thanks for joining us. News is next on a mighty 1590 KVGB and 97.7 FM.
Kansas Information Network News. I'm Nick Gosnell. A missing man from Overbrook was found dead Sunday with more. Ryan Ogle.
The Osage County Sheriff's Office says 65-year-old Leroy Fouts went missing on Wednesday, July 5th. He was last seen by family that afternoon in the area of 205th and Shawnee Heights Road. Fouts reportedly left his home in a 1998 Jeep Cherokee and had not been heard from since. The Sheriff's Office says Fouts' body was found in Osage County. Authorities say they are not releasing any additional details out of respect to the man's family.
And Westar Energy and Great Plains Energy have announced a revamped plan to merge after Kansas regulators scuttled an earlier deal. The Topeka Capital Journal reporting the deal announced Monday morning would form a utility with a combined equity value of about